Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right now in earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever, amen. And we understand this, God. So right now, we just yield it. We yield it to you and how you want to do things. We yield it to your presence. We surrender all right now. I want you to know that we're surrendered, Father. Not our plans, but your plans. Not our wants, but your wants. Not our ways, but your ways. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we surrender. We give it up right now, God. We drop all of our rocks right now. We drop all of our offenses right now. God, if we've been offended with anybody, we drop it right now. We forgive every single person in our lives right now. In our past, we forgive the people that's going to do us something in the future. We just drop it all right now, God. We've been carrying these burdens too long. We drop them all right now in the name of Jesus. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We forgive them all. We drop it all. We got nothing but love in the place. Nothing but love surrounding us, God. And so we just thank you. We acknowledge you. We thank you. You've been too, too good to us. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for your presence. So we just yield right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Yielding and submission is a big conversation. It's the main thing the Father's looking for. Jeremiah chapter 29. Many times, we have a tendency to function like God isn't in control. And so our prayers become a certain thing. Our worship becomes a certain thing. And sometimes you got to hear me out sometimes when truth hits, I know how the truth feels. Sometimes when the truth hits, it's jolting and you want to fight back sometimes. Especially when it may be different from where I've been standing. So I just don't hold your rocks tonight. I know you don't have any. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, say it loud. Say amen. 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 But don't throw your spirit back at me tonight. All right, and don't throw your revelation back at me tonight. All right, and don't throw what you think you know better than everybody in the history of Christianity back at me tonight. Amen. Because we're growing together. Amen. Amen. Sometimes our prayers and our worship and the way that we try to function and what we believe faith is sometimes can be a manipulation. And we begin to try to manipulate God into what we want. And we have these ideas of what life looks like and what success looks like. Let me give you a breakdown of the word success. Success doesn't mean always good things happening or riches or wealth or whatever. Success, the word success literally means what comes next. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The word success, you know, succession, that means succession. Marvin and Cameron right after you is succession. It's what comes next. It's nothing, no positive or negative. It's only what comes next. This is why he said, the scripture said, then y'all make their way prosperous, and then you'll have not just success, because something coming next. But he says, good success. And I don't want to break down in the whole words for you. I talked about it Sunday, but good and evil in the way Jesus, the language that Jesus them spoke, we lose so much in translation, but in the language that Jesus spoke, good and evil meant ripe and unripe. So evil was just unripe. It wasn't ready. It wasn't prepared. It never finished. It never finished maturing. So it started functioning in immaturity. All the evil you see in the world is an unripeness. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Every evil that you see in the world is an unripeness. It is something that was not somebody that was not fully matured enough to be the good thing that God planned it to be. But he says good success. Everybody say good success. So what comes next for me? I want it to be right. Right? I want it to be perfected. I want it to be mature. I don't want to eat an uncooked meal. Because if it doesn't finish all the way through, there are viruses. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There are viruses and things inside of some things that if it's not cooked all the way through. A lot of times the heat, the boiling, is what brings out the impurities. The process. Everybody say process. Come on, say it again, process. One more time, say process. Sometimes the heat. They say the gold is tried in the fire because if you want pure gold, you have to put it through the fire so the impurities arise at the top. Many times our function, and it's just because of historical Christianity and historical teaching of how things go, and we really thought everything was about us. Oh, we thought the plan was about us. Oh, y'all still think the plan about you, huh? We thought that this whole thing was because I was such a good person. God had to need to get me here. It's a greater plan. The plan ain't all about us. So why are my prayers all about me? Why is my giving all about me? Why is my worship all about me? I've got to get somewhere. It is never what I'm trying to get to in the beginning. But many times our functioning can be functioning like God is not in control. Like he's lost grip of something. Or like he's lost control of the reins of his system. Y'all heard me say a Sunday, the world been bad. Right? Everybody say amen. Amen. Y'all know it has been crazy out here. But even though the world is crazy, we act like God has lost control. God hasn't lost control. God's plan hasn't changed. There's a word called alignment. Everybody say alignment. Alignment. Come on, say it again. Say alignment. Alignment. Say this word. Say align. Come on, say align. Look, do your hand like this, like you're putting something in line. Like you're putting something in line. Like you're taking it and you're putting it in line. Many of y'all, all y'all was in alignment on the way here. Hopefully you were. You was in alignment on the way here when you got on the road. Stay between. When we learn how to write in school, it's right between the lines. You put lines on the paper. It didn't just give you blank paper. You got a blank paper when you was your kid. Because you're just coloring. You don't know nothing. You're all over the place.
That's right.
Right? Then they give you a picture and say, color. And they be like, nah, you can just be creative. No, color inside them doggone lines. Because there's a picture that we're trying to get. The creator of the picture made the lines for a reason. He didn't make the lines for you to, oh, I'm going to be creative today. No, I made the lines because I had a certain picture that I was trying to produce. So you got to, everybody say a line. Come on, say it again, align. Come on, use your hand, say align. I'm putting it, it's a line, it's inside the lines. I have to stay on my side of the line. Because if I don't, y'all drove here, right? No horseback, so nobody came on. But, all right, so everybody drove here, or came in a vehicle. And he says, anybody rode with somebody, if you rode with somebody and they wasn't on the right side of the line, what's the next thing you saying? You better... You call them passenger seat drivers. You're going too fast. You ain't going to slow down. What you doing? Turn right there. Everybody say alignment. Come on, say it again, alignment. Now, the lines are important because the lines are put in place for a reason. They're put in place to give you protection, right? To give you direction, to preserve you in your travel inside the lines. Even I've gotten to roads sometimes where you get to some place, they ain't got no lines. Anybody ever went on a road like that? The gravel, but I've become so efficient and proficient in the lines that I knew to align myself to the right side. Depends on what country you're in, because if you're in another country. But according to the laws of the land. Now the law, I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit, so y'all gonna let me do it. The law is two-sided, and it's really not two-sided. It's really one thing, but because of how we perceive it and our perspective of it, and I'm not talking about the commandments of the law. I know they got this whole argument about the law and grace and all that, and it's such an ignorant and immature conversation. It's an ignorant and immature conversation because we should be over that by now. Like, how long are we going to be discussing the same things? When God gives a law, right, he is not, yes, it comes across as a commandment because all we think about is doing. But if you ever have the perspective of a being, then when God gives you a law, he's really telling you who you are. Thou shalt not kill, right? Sounds like he's telling you don't kill nobody, right? But he's really telling you you're not a killer. But it's perspective. Because if you just got a hand perspective and do a servant perspective, do, then you're trying to figure out, that's why you can't keep the law. Because keeping the law is a being, not a doing. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with your prophets or the law, but I came to fulfill it. I showed you how to be filled with the Spirit of God. I showed you how to be filled. You fulfilling the law. You are the law. You get it? Now, because we don't understand a punitive law or a law like we have with the government and police right now, we think law is only for punishment. Do this or this gonna happen to you. But the truth of the matter is, law was always intended to show you who you really are and how to align to your truth. The law of gravity ain't gonna send you to jail, but it'll kill you. All y'all operating the law of gravity tonight. One, two. You operate in the law of gravity, and it allowed you to get to where you need to get to. Did you pray in tongues? I'm asking a question. Y'all answer me. Did you get in the spirit to walk in here? No. Okay, hold on. Hey, everybody say amen. Amen. Did you get off in the glory? How many of y'all laid down last night and went to bed? Raise your hand. You laid down, like you sat down. You might have fell asleep sitting up or whatever, but you were down somewhere. You wasn't standing up. Right? Did you get in the spirit? For gravity to hit your body. I seen people fall asleep in church sometimes. That's the funniest gravity ever. Because they be like, the law of gravity is to be aligned with. Right? And you position yourself. I'm talking right now. I know it don't seem spiritual, but I don't care right now. When you align yourself to be prepared properly in your bed. Yeah. There's a way that you sit down. Yeah. Oh no, y'all. Oh no. I know y'all deep. Y'all in the spirits. Y'all just fall asleep and somebody carry you to the bed. No. Who aligned you? You right now in that chair. You aligned yourself. God didn't put you in that chair. Right. The Holy Spirit didn't put you in that chair. Them ushers led you to that seat. And you politely positioned yourself. You ain't closed your eyes and was like, nope. Holy Spirit, guide me to the chair. No, you didn't do any of that. You, with your eyes open, lined yourself up and sat down. Everybody say alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, say it again, alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, one more time, say alignment.
Alignment.
It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing, Agent. It's alignment. Many times we are seeking out the supernatural because we hadn't aligned ourselves. We're looking for the extraordinary because we hadn't done the ordinary. You know the word extraordinary is extraordinary. Right? You know, supernatural got two words. It's supernatural. When something is super, in science they teach you when something is super, that means it's saturated more than what could actually fit in it. Are y'all understanding me? So supernatural, you're trying to squeeze more into a place that should have had it all at first. See, what's supernatural to you is not supernatural to God. God don't have no supernatural. What's supernatural to you is natural to God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is his nature.
Yes, sir.
So because it is his nature, watch this, it's yours too.
Amen.
But you've been, you've been conditioned for something else. You've been conditioned for extra miracles. How many fingers I'm holding up? Y'all can see me right now? Can y'all see me?
Yes.
How many fingers I'm holding up?
Two.
I'm holding up two fingers?
Yeah.
Why, how do y'all know I'm holding two fingers? Because y'all can see it, right? Did you say, ah, it's a miracle. I can see them two fingers. Was it a miracle?
No.
You just took it natural, right? You woke up this morning, open your eyes, you can see. Did you say, oh, it's a miracle, I can see. So why is it a miracle when a blind eye is open? We're just lining it back up to the norm.
That's right.
If a man can walk, anybody can walk. Trying to help you. If one can walk, if I can walk, anybody can walk. God is no respect, no person. So it's not a big deal if you get out of a wheelchair because you were supposed to be out of the wheelchair in the first place.
All right.
But you see what society and the way it's been delivered to us has made us clap real loud for that. And so it's so far away. It's such a distant thing. It's in some other realm that you ain't in. Jesus was only operating in alignment. You remember when he started talking? I gotta get to this doggone screen. Remember when he's talking? And he says, I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father.
Right.
I have my own self, can do nothing.
Right.
As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father. That's an alignment conversation.
Yeah.
He's saying that I've aligned myself so much that what I say, I get it.
My God. Hallelujah.
We got to grow up. Everybody say grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, say it again. Say grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, say it. We got to grow up fast. Listen. When we see an ailment, we begin to and try to build up a power to try to perform a miracle. When can you see, Marvin? Well, if you can see, you should be able to produce sight. Because you are the manifestation of what's trying to be made right here already. Paul said it. He said, I'm concerned. He said that through the subtlety of the serpent and the system, and the subtlety of the system and the serpent, subtlety, that we've been hypnotized, we've been deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so everything seems difficult, or it seems hard. There is nothing difficult in the will of God. Now, I know it's hard to believe because we haven't. There is nothing difficult. Say, there is nothing difficult. Come on, say it again. There is nothing difficult. Come on, say it a little bit like you believe it. Say, there's nothing difficult in the will of God. I want to say it again. There is nothing difficult in the will of God. Come on, say it again. There is nothing difficult in the will of God. Now, the will of God may present something to you that may seem difficult for you at the moment, but that is an indication that you're not aligned. Because there is nothing difficult in the will of God. the difficulty when it comes up, Kenny, when the difficulty comes up, what it does is it's exposing me to the fact that I may be aligned to this system more than I think. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to be renewed. We can't go off of the old dates. When you renew your license or you renew whatever, we can't go off of the old things. I have to renew. I have to renew it. I have to make it new again. I have to go back before it got old. And I have to align. Everybody say align.
Align.
Come on, say it again. Say align.
Align.
One more time. Say align.
Align.
I told myself I was going to stay up here this tonight. Never work. Jeremiah 29. We read and that's our favorite scripture, verse 11. I can't go into like I want because I started reading it to kind of, Lord showed it to me, and I started reading into the chapter, and he starts talking about Babylon, and I just mentioned to somebody that America is somewhat of a Babylon.
Yes, it is.
It's almost Babylon, Sodom, and Gomorrah wrapped all into one. And he starts saying some things. I'm grateful. I'm going to read it. God is always trying to teach you something other than what you think is the purpose is it for. I thought God, at one time in my life, and he may do this, at one time in my life, I thought God had give me musical abilities or giving me the, you know, whatever you want to call it, or giving me the music, you know, the knack for music and the sing. I thought he gave it to me because he wanted me to go to the world and sing to everybody. And he may do some of that. He had to teach me about frequency at first. And teach me about tone, but I thought it was that. But he said, "Son, I was teaching you something else. I was teaching you rhythm. I was teaching you rhythm, and I was teaching you harmony. And I was teaching you how to align the parts with each other parts, and how it just can't be a bunch of noise, but it has to be a line. It has to be a rhythm." Everybody say a line, and say rhythm. Come on, say it again. Say a line, and say rhythm. Come on, say it again. Say a line, and rhythm. Now, there's a rhythm that's going on right now on the inside of you. Your heart is beating in rhythm.
Right.
You're breathing in rhythm without thinking about it. As a matter of fact, the most important parts of you, you don't think about them. The most important parts of you, you get no direction for them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Breathe in, breathe out, heart beating, you can't control it. You couldn't stop your heart if you wanted to. You couldn't do it, and you wouldn't do it, and you shouldn't do it. If you couldn't hold your breath enough to make yourself pass out, because your body will say, uh-uh, we ain't doing that. I'm trying to show you the involuntary. We learn voluntary and involuntary. Voluntary is what you decided to, involuntary is just what is. The most important parts of you, they just work on it. It's a rhythm going on,
yeah.
Right? There's a rhythm. That's why they're talking about flowing in the spirit.
Right.
There's a rhythm going on.
Yes,
it's not a force. It's a rhythm. Everybody say rhythm.
Rhythm.
Come on, say it again. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers.
Rivers.
Here's something I'm teaching you, rhythm. Because you can't go give nobody rhythm until you know rhythm. I was going to go out there singing, and people going to clap for you. But don't catch the rhythm. The object is, the apostle come preach, catch the rhythm. No, don't wait for the blessing, catch the rhythm. The blessing is a result of the rhythm. You're sitting in a rhythm ministry. There's rhythm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What you want to do? That's the rhythm. And all these things will be added. Now, because we've been conditioned to other rhythms, then the music God be putting out be sounding hard or difficult. I can't catch on to that. No, you just too conditioned to R&B. Are you too conditioned to soul? I pick your favorite genre. We're too conditioned for it. Y'all see the conditioning? If I say alignment, come on, say rhythm. Come on, say alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, say rhythm.
Rhythm.
Say alignment.
Alignment.
Rhythm.
Rhythm.
See, getting in alignment with God has never been out of control.
Right.
And his rhythm has never changed.
No.
The rhythm that he had in Genesis where he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion, give you every herb bearing seed, he did not change his mind. The only thing he told us to do was not eat from that tree, because in that tree, you're going to lose the rhythm. In that tree, you're going to lose the rhythm and you're going to try to create your own beat. Start marching by the beat of your own drum. God ain't changed his mind. The plan he started with in the beginning was perfect enough for eternity. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? But there's an alignment that has to take place. And see, the alignment is simple. Sometimes it just takes you taking some stuff off. Some ideas you've been carrying that ain't aligned. Some ways we've been doing things that ain't aligned. Some ways we've been talking that ain't aligned. So because it's not aligned, we're not getting the same results. Jesus says, the works that I do, you should do also. But the prerequisite is he that believeth on me. So verse 11. You can read it. Ready, read.
For I know the thoughts that I give towards you.
Wait, who said it?
The Lord.
Oh, who said it?
The Lord.
I want to be clear. Who said it? I'm teaching y'all tonight. Who said it?
The Lord.
So we know who's talking right now, right? So start off from the beginning again. Ready, read.
For I know
the thoughts that I think towards you. Stop trying to put thoughts in my mind about how you think about yourself. That's why the Lord's Prayer is important, because it keeps you out the way.
Yeah.
Our Father, I never had to be done in thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Yeah. Keeps me out the way. What did other prayer you prayed, and how you knew that was his will? Said the Lord, thoughts of what?
Peace.
Wow, that don't sound difficult at all. That don't sound hard at all, does it? Thoughts of struggle. I got thoughts of struggle, you know, struggle coming for you. Thoughts of pain, but you got to endure the pain. Thoughts of
peace.
Not pain, peace. And not of
evil.
You remember we're talking about evil, it was unripeness. So my thoughts for you are ripe thoughts.
Yeah.
What's that last line? Read it.
To give.
Not for you to accomplish an expected end. Not for you to manifest unexpected. Come on, we're just coming to deep words. Come on. Manifest, produce. It's not for you to manifest unexpected in. I'm giving it to you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you already. That's Jeremiah 29. In chapter 1, he starts talking. He said, before you was formed in the belly, I knew you. And I ordained you and I sanctified you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the plan has already been in place. But the question is, am I aligned to what already is? The reason he's called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 11, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The reason he's talking about the author and the finisher, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, because it's already done. The plan is already done from the time God, whatever he wanted to start it, to the time he wants to end it, or whatever that looks like, all the way through eternity, it is already finished. So my job is to align. And everything in me that is not aligned, I get it out of me. Did y'all realize that's what fasting is for? Fasting is not to get more spiritual. It's to show you that you're a spirit. It's not for you to get deeper. It's to show you already buried. See, you don't know you're buried. If I don't know that I'm buried, then I'm always struggling to get out of the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I don't know I'm a seed, then when they put me in the ground,
come on.
I think you're trying to kill me.
Yes.
And he is.
That's it.
Except a seed, except a corner, we fall in the ground and
die.
But if I don't know, then I'm out of alignment. So I'm fighting for preservation, self-preservation. This is what this system has aligned us to. Self-preservation. It has aligned us to preserve ourselves. And so now it's me, 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 me. And so now I love my neighbor as I love myself feels like a struggle when it's really not. Love your enemies, pray for them to despitefully use you seems like a struggle when it's really not. Because I've been aligned to something else. I know the plans that I thought towards you already. I know them. Who know them? God. Wait, who know them? God know them, huh?
Yes.
Where God at? Where God at? Y'all be scared of them answers. Y'all be scared of them questions. Yeah, answer. I don't know. Where God at? He everywhere. Why we say God is omnipresent, but we never put him here?
Right.
You know what omnipresent mean, right? You ever heard somebody say God is omnipresent?
Yes.
That mean he everywhere all at once, ain't it?
Right.
So if he everywhere, am I a place?
Yes.
I'm a person. You a place too. My body is the
temple.
That's right.
So if God knows, you know too, but you hadn't been aligned to the knowing. Why do they call the tree the knowledge of good and evil? It's a different knowledge. I know the thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. The end is already expected. I'm expecting great things. We were singing a little while ago, right? Yeah, that's what God said. He's looking at you saying, I'm expecting great things. Because I got an expected end already. But does the story that we're living look like the story that he wrote? And if not, I need to catch that eraser. I need to get that white out, right? So throw that page away. Let's. He was in Christ, a new creature, old things
pass away.
Let's throw that away. That's somebody else's script. Some of our families have wrote the scripts for us. Some of our DNA are trying to write the scripts for us. They call them generational curses. I'll say it again. I said it Sunday, and I'll say it again. You can't pray away a generational curse. You have to get aligned. See, that thing is trying to put you in the family line. It comes down the line. Yeah, it only came down the line because you're still in line. You must be born again aligns you to the line of God. I know the thoughts already. I know them. Thoughts of peace. There's no evil written in my plan. In my script, there ain't no evil in there. So if the evil is, if evil is showing up, it's somewhere that I'm unaligned. Matthew 11. Yeah, I wanna. We're going to read some more scriptures in a minute. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29. 28. 25. how easy is it? And I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible because it's been a grand deception. So I want to keep it simple. I'm bringing it to where you at right now. When you ever been driving and you veered over across the line a little bit? How easy was it to correct? I'm asking the question. Pretty easy. I just everybody just do like this. Come on, grab your wheel. Y'all think I'll be playing. I do this because you're going to remember it. Grab the wheel and just veer on back in line. All right, watch me. Just get back in line. It's not hard. You don't need counseling. You don't need a 21-step program. See, we believe those things. Be it unto you according to your faith. You hear when Jesus said that? He says, be it unto you according to your faith. If thou canst believe what he says, all things are possible. Now, because we get all positive, but he's really trying to give you a basic law and principle that if you believe it, that's the thing that's possible. If you believe that you need 29 counseling sessions to get realigned, then that's your faith. That's what it's going to take for you. It's not a principle. It's just that's what you believe. Come on, get back in. Has anybody ever swerved before? Come on, don't lie to me up in here. You wasn't looking at the road. Whatever reason. I mean, there's no condemnation. I used to say there's all love, no condemnation, right? No. But you just swerve, and then you had to correct. You had to get back in line. And at that particular time, sometimes any of us swerve, and you ain't had time to make no discussion. I ain't had no time for nobody to counsel me. It's time to get back over, or we gonna be in trouble. Huh? And instinctually, you line back up. There was a split second. There was no time for a conversation or a prayer. You couldn't look for your notes right then. Man of God told me that. No, ain't no time for what the man of God told you. Instinctually, you swerve back into alignment. Instinctually, the God instinct or the God nature in you is trying to jerk you back into alignment. But we got too much junk sitting on top of it. Too many methods. We done read too many books. We listen to too many preachers. Can I get it? You think you're searching, after the word, but you're actually clouding the judgment. You're muddying the waters. And it's becoming murky. Alignment. At that time, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. The ones that think they got all the lessons and all the courses and all the motivational speeches and all the... And has revealed them unto babes. And the baby sitting over there. So it's a simple, it's the most simplistic thought process. When he's talking about revealing unto babes, except you become as children. You remember Jesus said, except you become as a child? Can y'all hear me? Amen. He said you become as a child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. He's trying to say you got to simplify something. Yeah, you got too many gifts. You got too much supernatural expectation. What I'm trying to do is simple, Kirk. What I'm trying to do is simple. But you think you need a ball of fire to come out of you? You remember when Elijah asked Elisha? Elijah asked, like, what you want from me? He said, well, I don't want a double portion. He could have asked for more. Amen. Double portion. He said, okay, well, simple. When you see me, if you see me when I go, you get double portion. Simple, ain't it? Simple, ain't it? But look how complicated things got around him. They over there talking about, he leaving here today. Everybody in here is. I don't know why you're walking with him. You know he leaving here today. I don't know why, what you're doing. You keep doing that same thing. I don't know what you're doing for now. You got all this in your ears. You got the people talking in your ear. All that noise in your ears. All that noise in your ears. And then you trying to be focused. All that noise in your ears. You trying to be focused. And then here come a chariot of fire. You come out of the sky. Oh, this got to be the Lord. This got to be God. Because I ain't never seen a chariot of fire. That's what a lot of people believe in, supernatural fun, running for revivals and all that. That's what they're looking for, a chariot of fire. And they're missing what God is doing. Yeah. Chariot of fire come. For the longest, when I grew up, I thought the chariot of fire picked him up. Picked up Elijah. He jumped in the chariot and flew on off. Till I paid attention and I realized as the chariot of fire is coming, then Elijah goes up in a whirlwind. See how simple that is? But the principle is you receive me when I'm taken. You'll receive whatever it is. Are y'all seeing it? Don't be distracted. Who sent the chariot of fire? God did. Who led Jesus in the garden to be tempted? God did. Let him in there to get tempted. He's trying to test you to see if you're going to be focused. Or you just want the chariots of fire. Then all you got, now you got chariots of fire ministries. Sunday we talking about rocking the bread ministry. Now we got chariot of fire ministries. And now your whole ministry based on the chariot of fire that you saw. And you trying to deliver people off of a vision that you were never supposed to see. And it's exciting. And it's, you know, seeds are very boring. According to our system. They're very simplistic. It's just put in the dirt and there's a lot of nurturing and waiting. Ain't really no climax to that story. Until that seed breaks ground. And then you begin to see the process of growth.
Yeah.
The process of growth. I don't know. Some of y'all may have never planted anything in your life. You never ever planted anything in your life? Like planted anything in your life? I'm talking about like actual dirt and seeds. The process of this is closer to God than what you can imagine. We've been disconnected. I remember he starts talking to me, he said, look at the birds in Matthew 6. Then he said, look at the flowers. He said, they don't do all this stuff that y'all doing. But you better than them. How you better than them, but you doing stuff that they ain't doing? Then he goes on to say, seek ye first. Everybody say alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, say it again, say alignment.
Alignment.
Come on, say it again, say alignment.
Alignment.
I'll show you how to align real quick in this. It's not a fancy message, but I don't care. At the time, Jesus answered, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Are you there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
You read. Ready, read. Verse 29. Verse 30. My yoke, there's no difficulty in there. There's no difficulty in it. There's no struggle. There's no faith stand. There's no wrestling. There's no fighting in there. He says, my yoke is and my burden is. Verse 29. Read verse 29 again. Okay, so you got to take something. So that's you. Do you realize when he says take your yoke, it's immediately talking, take your yoke, it's immediately talking alignment? By show of hands, who know what a yoke is? I'm not talking about egg yolk. If you don't know what yoke he's talking about, then I'll show you. I just want to know. I don't know, I'm teaching tonight. I just want to know. We don't see yokes now because we're so technology. But a yoke was what they'll put on the ox or the cow. And they'll put it on them, and they'll have them hooked to the plow or whatever, and they'll pull. They use them to pull to make the rolls, wherever you're going. Or you're just using to pull a chariot or whatever it is. It was a yoke that they put on it. It was made to put on the neck, and then it takes the burden on the shoulders, and then now when you're pulling that. So when Jesus says, take my yoke, he's trying to tell you, take the same yoke that I got and line up the way that I'm lined up. But you got to take the yoke. You're going to take somebody's yoke. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Somebody putting their yoke on you. So, I found out the other day, I was watching a movie the other day, and I found out what a con artist is. You ever heard of con artists? Huh, y'all, what y'all thought? Immediately, y'all thought schema, huh? You trying to scheme me out my money, huh? Trying to take my stuff, huh? No, what I found out, and the woman was talking in the movie, and she said, oh, he's a confidence artist. I said, confidence artist? I said, what are you talking about? Wait, confidence, you mean it's a confidence artist? You mean a con artist was a confidence artist the whole time? You mean the con stands for confidence? That means they're really not trying to trick me out of my stuff. They're trying to trick me and make me give it to them. They're trying to shift my confidence. Y'all got to hear me. They're shifting my confidence so that I believe in them so much, Larry, that they ain't got to steal it because I'm going to give it to them. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
They've talked to me.
Yeah.
And stroked me. And they done ate with me and they came and sat at my house. And they done become friends with me. And they like the same players I like. My favorite team is their favorite team. They love Jesus too. They be reading the red words too. Yeah. Now I got you in the car with me.
Yep.
Now, and then when they come out and say, I don't want, you ready for that? I'm gonna say, I don't want your money. No, you can't give me that. They'll put up a need and say, man, I need $1,500 this week. And then you say, oh, because you already, they already got you. You already in the rhythm. So you ready? I'm about to write a check. Oh, you need you. You my dog. You my best friend. We besties. All that. You, of course I'll give you. What's mine is yours. And you about to write the check out. They say, no, you can't do that. No, don't do that. I couldn't let you do that. Now you think they humble. You know, no, you can't do that. No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to. You know what it sound like? Well, I said, you know what it sound like? Surely you won't die. See, the con is, you ready for the con? Mm-hmm. The con is, I don't really tell you what's going to happen. I just kind of say it in another way where you don't know what's about to come. So the enemy says, surely you won't die. And they ate from the fruit, right? And they didn't die, did they? Seemed like, right? He didn't tell them all the stuff God told them when he came back.
Yeah.
Or because you ate from that, now you're going to have pain in childbirth and you're going to work by the sweat of your brow and all these different things going to happen. And he didn't tell you all that, did he? You ain't read that fine print, did you?
No.
Sign them papers, ain't read that fine print. It's a confidence shift. It's a confidence shift. The enemy has conned us. This system has conned us into believing that its way of doing things is the way. And so we done gave it everything we got. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you. You got to listen to what I'm saying, but it's a shift. Come on, turn that wheel back. Come on. He says, take my yoke upon me. Line up with me. In other words, if I got to tell you to line up with me, then right now you're not lined up. So I need you to take my, and this is Jesus talking, these red words, while I'm beyond these red words, because I don't know else how to learn of Jesus. I don't know how else to learn of Jesus. I die in the red words. I haven't figured out the other way to, I figured out the way to be prophetic. And I figured out how to be a preacher. And I figured out all the other stuff that comes with it, right? But I haven't figured out how to be like Jesus without getting in the red. The man says, I am the way. What are we talking about? When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, if I'm trying to get to the Father, I'm trying to produce the Father on the inside of me, then I'm eating all his words up. I doggone near want to memorize what he said. Take my yoke, not a yoke. My yoke, say my yoke. She says, take my yoke. Don't just take a yoke because it got a line going somewhere. All lines don't lead to your destiny. And just because it's in a groove, let me take, just because it seems like it's making progress, I said this Sunday, just because it seems like it's making progress doesn't mean God got his hand on it. Well, they built a tower back. They built a tower to heaven because they decided that they wanted to do it. That wasn't God's plan, so he had to confuse their language. Do y'all understand what's going on? But they did it. Give us a king. You don't need a king. We want a king. Y'all don't need a king. We want a king. If you get a king, he's going to do this and this and this and this and this, and it's not going to be good for you. Yeah. We hear you, but we want a king. Cool. Take your king. How that's working out for you? Take my yoke upon you. We've been deceived. The system has deceived us because our idea of success, remember we're talking about success? Our idea of what's good, our idea of what's supposed to be working, our idea of what, how it's supposed to be happening, they deceived us so much that we think if something is manifesting, God must have his hand on it. Not the almighty God, but a God got his hand on it. And learn of who?
Me.
Who that talking? Who is that talking?
Jesus.
So Jesus is saying, everybody say Jesus is saying.
Jesus.
Come on, say Jesus says.
Jesus says,
take his yoke
upon me.
And learn of him.
And learn of him.
Well, who is he? For I am. That's enough. But we'll read the rest of it. Meek and lowly in heart. And then you'll find
rest.
Not stress for your soul.
Rest.
You're going to find stress.
Rest.
We said rest.
For
your souls. Now this conversation is not a difficult conversation. And I don't need, listen what I'm trying to tell you. Watch this. I called a friend the other day and I asked him, and y'all got to excuse me how I asked him, but I had to ask him who the friend was. If you knew him, you'd know why I asked him like this. I called him. I just called him randomly in the morning. And he was studying some stuff and trying to figure out something that's so psychological and physiological and super spiritual and all this stuff like that. And I said, well, what's easier, to wipe yourself when you go to the bathroom or drive? Do you know this boy tried to explain to me? He told me, well, it depends. I said, boy, shut up. What's easier, white cleaning yourself or driving? Cleaning yourself is a simple thing. You learn this since you're a little kid, right? What's the point of learning how to drive somewhere if you ain't cleaned yourself? Because you're going to show up. You say, well, I made it. I'm here for the party. I wish you'd never came. Because you need to wash your before you leave out this house. God, give us another move of the Spirit. Watch this. Give us another revival. Give us another move. Show us your glory. Send your presence down. Wait, send your presence down. What's going on in you?
Is it me?
That's right.
Is it me?
You see it?
Yes, sir.
Can y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
See, the con is to get you to believe something else other than you. To put your confidence in something else. So if I the 21 days of prayer, if I pray those 21 days, I'll be spiritual. No, you are today.
Yes, I am.
Say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it, I am.
I am.
See, it's not about becoming something. It's about dropping those things that you're not. See, people have put cloaks on you. You remember David was gone and Saul wanted to put his armor on him?
Right.
And David said, nah, because this ain't how I killed the lion in the battle.
Right.
So I'm not about to put more stuff on me to hold me down and make me slower from who I really am.
That's right. That's good, Lord. Thank you.
And sometimes, to take his yoke, you got to take the other one off.
Amen.
Which one you got to take off? I want you to consider your ways. We consider our ways. Apostle preaching on health, right?
Yes.
We didn't have healing crusade after 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 healing crusade. Ever since I've been a little boy, there've been healing crusades and healing lines and laying hands on the lines and healing crusades and great healing anointings. Mm-hmm. Well, healing only exists because we got sick.
Right.
God didn't create healing. He gave us life.
Yes.
The only reason you need to heal is because you got unhealed.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
But there's some prayers, Larry, I prayed. And I'm praying, trying to get a healing when I just need to stop eating that thing. I need the anointing of God to come upon me and heal. No, you need to stop. Anybody?
Yes,
come on. Y'all know. Y'all didn't feel no hot oil coming down your head, no anointing or nothing. Just put it down. And you just put it down consistently and you aligned yourself. And when I aligned myself, everything started acting like it was supposed to act. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hold on. But see, I got a question. Can I y'all gonna be honest with me?
Yes, sir.
Answer me.
Yes, sir.
I really be talking to y'all. Like, I don't know what y'all think. Like, I really be having a conversation. I don't be like, you know, it's not figurative. Y'all right here. Y'all, hey.
Yes,
hey, touch your neighbor. Give your neighbor a pat. Like, y'all, we really in the room together. Hey, y'all, we really right here. So we're having a conversation. Watch me. So when I ask you something, just talk to me, all right? Have you ever had an ailment and you had been praying for it, but it seemed like you couldn't shake it?
Yes.
Huh? Anybody?
Yes.
Or something's going on, and then you find out, oh, this is causing that reaction. So did you have to keep praying about it?
No,
you just changed.
Right.
So there was no, you didn't need to, by his stripes I'm healed. Of course, by his stripes you were healed. And his stripes are in a line. His stripes is alignment. But clearly. And it says by his stripes you were. Do you mean that I was already together?
Yes.
So whatever it is that ain't together is because I've gotten out of. But say line up. So some of my lining up is actually me taking off what's underlined off of me.
Uh-huh.
Did y'all know your mind eat too?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know your mind got a diet?
Yeah.
Your mind got a diet.
Yes, it does.
What you been eating? I'm feeling this. That's why. Because you've been eating that. I'm so sad. God didn't create depression. So if you got it, you got it from somebody else. And it's, hold on. I know people don't like this. It's not some oogie boogie, the spirit of depression on you. No, you're not lined up.
Yeah, right.
If I line up, guarantee you could trace all your issues back to a problem that you eating. You taking in or something that you didn't let somebody put in you. Guaranteed. Just go do a little tracing. Take my yoke. Come on, learn of me. Don't learn nothing else. Who y'all learning from? Who you learn? Learn of me. He made it personal. Because I'm meek. I don't know about the rest of them people. I don't know about Reverend such and such. And Prophet such and such. I don't know about all them. He said, but I know I'm meek. And I'm lowly heart. And I know that's where the rest for your soul is. Verse 30. For my yoke is
easy.
And my burden is. We just read that, did you? Didn't we read that? Did y'all just read that? No, I'm asking the question. Did y'all just read that? So it's written that simple right there, huh? Do you need a revelation? No, do it. That don't need to be broken down much more than the fact that take that off what you got on, put on what I got on, and learn of me. Come stand over here while I'm standing. Line up while I'm come on, do you? Line up while I line up. And then you have rest for your souls. Not only will you have rest for your souls, but all that stuff that they told you they was gonna promise you, that you're struggling to get, these things will come out of you. And be beneficial to all those you come in contact with. You see the difference? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm not up here all high-minded trying to get myself on top of some mountain or trying to make myself be somebody else. I'm going to be meek and I'm going to be lowly and I'm going to find rest. And now while I'm carrying this burden that others think are heavy, it's light to me because I'm lined up. It's easy to me because I'm lined up. Everybody say Matthew 6:9. Say it. Matthew 6:9. Aligns. Matthew 6:9. Aligns. Matthew 6:9. Aligns. I want you to go a little while. I want you to go for a little while and just pray that prayer every day. Break it down and pray it. I know you got something. You got your faith confession. I know you got your little faith contracts and little things you got on your wall and all the stuff like that. Cool. Just flip them over. Just don't take them now. Just flip them over so you can't see them for a couple of days and just pray God's will. Exceeding abundantly. Above. How much? All that stuff that you didn't ask and thought about is above that. I'm going to end here. Matthew 26, go over there quick. 26. And I see Jesus praying. And he said, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, that's verse 39. He said, "Oh Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, a lot of times that's what our prayer is. The stuff that we want. Oh, Father, can you give me this? Oh, Father, can I have this? Oh, Father, can I do this? But the end of this is the prayer. He says what? Nevertheless. So I don't want less than what you got. Nevertheless in that, not but thy will be done. Amen.